The necessity of the Holy Spirit in our salvation, sanctification, and enabling us as the people of God to serve Him. Inside the tabernacle sanctuary, which is pictured for us here in Exodus chapter 25, the Lord has given the specifics of the tabernacle here unto Moses. And inside the tabernacle sanctuary, natural light was shut out because of the veil. Natural light and the coverings was shut out. Therefore, light was supplied by burning oil in the golden lampstand found within the holy place. The Hebrew word for light here in this verse number 6 literally means for lighting. This oil was for lighting. It was for the giving of light. It was lit and it burned in the golden lampstand. And it gave light within the tabernacle holy place, revealing there all of the glories found within that sanctuary. Over in Exodus chapter 27 and the verses 20 and 21 we read, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn always." Now it is very clear from these verses in Exodus 27, that this pure oil kept the golden lamp burning continually in the holy place. The burning oil gave light in the midst of where there would have been darkness, and it illuminated the way into the Holy of Holies, that place where the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, dwelt above the mercy seat, the place of acceptance, the place where the blood was sprinkled on the very day of atonement. You see, without the oil and the light that it gave, the glories of the inner sanctuary, which typified Christ in His person and in His work, the one who would come and fulfill all that the tabernacle pictured, they would have been left in complete darkness for all who entered there. Also, the way into the Holy of Holies would not have been made plain had it not been for the oil which burned in the lampstand to show the way right to the very mercy seat itself. The pure oil was a necessary part, an essential part of the tabernacle to reveal all of its glories and to illuminate the way of access to God at the mercy seat, and also to enable the high priest to serve inside the tabernacle in the way that God had ordained him to do so. Now this pure oil, as I've said before, all within the tabernacle are found types and shadows of symbol of something in a spiritual sense. And this pure oil is a wonderful picture of the person and work of God the Holy Spirit, the one who reveals and the one who illuminates. And I want us to consider this morning the necessity, the essential necessity of the Holy Spirit in salvation, in our sanctification, and in our service as we seek to see a work done for the Lord. So the first thing I want us to consider this morning as we look at this pure oil as a type of the blessed Holy Spirit is this: the necessity of the Holy Spirit in salvation. Now we can understand this when we remember that man by nature is dead in trespasses and in sins. Man by nature is spiritually blind, the Bible teaches. He is in darkness by nature to the true light and to the true gospel of redeeming grace. He is in darkness to the beauty that is found alone in Christ. In the tabernacle sanctuary, Christ was revealed in type by the many beautiful objects that were found within it. Without the oil which burned in the lampstand to reveal and to illuminate and to give light, it would be impossible for those who entered within the tabernacle to behold the beauty of the tabernacle sanctuary and to see clearly the way into the Holy of Holies, the place of acceptance with God at the mercy seat. The beauty of Christ in His person and work, which makes known to us the way of salvation and how we may obtain acceptance with God, is revealed to us now in the written word, in the Bible. And so in the spiritual sense, there is a great necessity today. A great necessity of the Holy Spirit to reveal the Word to those who are spiritually blind and who are in darkness. There is an essential necessity for the Holy Spirit to work in this way. You see, 1 Corinthians 2 and the verse 14 is very clear. It says that the natural man, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he discern them, neither can he know them of himself, because they are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit, therefore, must illuminate and apply the Word to the heart. He must reveal Christ. As John 6, verse 63 teaches, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Titus 3 verse 5, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And even as God's people today, we need this truth to impact upon our hearts once again. You know, we can be so busy in these days, can't we? We can be so busy doing this and doing that and organizing this meeting and that meeting. Forget about the great necessity of the Holy Spirit to come. The simple truth is this. If God the Holy Spirit were to leave all men in the darkness of their fallen condition, no one would ever be saved. Not one. Consider with me this morning the plight of every sinner. Those without Christ are dead in sins. They're totally depraved in their nature. Every part of the sinner's being born into this world, every part of his being, his mind, his will, his emotions, his affections, his conscience, his body, it all has been affected by sin and by the fall. He's blind to the beauty that is found alone in Christ. He's in the darkness of his sins. Consider the privilege of salvation. You see, in the case of some, the Holy Spirit performs a mighty work. It's called in Ephesians 2 verse 5, quickening. It's called John 3, 4 and 7, being born again. In Ephesians 2 verse 6, of being raised up from the dead. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle of God, the Holy Spirit's divine grace, which regenerates and restores man spiritually. The Holy Spirit reveals the need, reveals sin, reveals Christ, illuminates the darkened heart, and shows the sinner their need of Christ as their own and personal Savior. The Holy Spirit alone can do this work. Notice the product of salvation in such cases when the Holy Spirit does this mighty work. The gospel has a powerful effect. Is that not what we want to see today? Is that not, believe, what you want to see in this very congregation? A mighty work being done. A real work, a true work of conversion. The gospel, when the Holy Spirit applies the word and reveals Christ in the need, the gospel has a powerful effect, a life-changing effect. What before seemed foolishness to the guilty sinner now pricks the heart. Acts 2 verse 37 relates that great truth. What before seemed only as foolishness to the guilty sinner now deals with them. And the word is, as in truth, works effectually in them that believe. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. You see, when a sinner reads or hears the word of God preached, by nature it goes in one ear and it goes out the other. Because he's blind to the truth of the gospel. Of himself he can do absolutely nothing. He is spiritually dead. And that general call of the gospel, as the preacher stands behind the sacred desk and gives the general call of the gospel to come unto Christ, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. That general call will day after day go unheeded. Because man of himself cannot respond to the call. But how different it is when the Holy Spirit works, when the Holy Spirit regenerates the heart, just as our Lord gave blind Bartimaeus his sight. So the Holy Spirit illuminates the darkened sinner to the truth of the gospel. The Holy Spirit effectually, he irresistibly calls the sinner and regenerates them and makes them a new creature in Christ. And applies to them all that Christ has done. You see, without a direct work of God, the Holy Spirit in the heart, men may hear what the preacher says. They may even enjoy what the preacher says. And they may read God's Word and they may enjoy it. But they will never be convinced and converted and convicted of their sin unless the Holy Spirit works. What's the application of all this? Well, as the people of God, surely this truth again has been reiterated upon our hearts and in our minds that we need the Holy Spirit to come. Without Him, we can do absolutely nothing. As the people of God, we can have a great confidence as we witness to the lost. Think about those little ones in our homes, born in sin and shaping iniquity. Think about our family circle and our friendship circles. We read in Acts 2, verse 38 and 39, and here we read about Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. We read there, "Then said Peter unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And that's the message that we preach. That's the message that we present to our little ones in our homes. That's the message that is presented from this pulpit to those who are lost in sins. Repent and believe the gospel for the remission of sins. He goes on in verse 39 to say, "For the promise is unto you, and it is to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And from that first delivery on the day of Pentecost of that divine message of remission of sins and faith in Jesus Christ, it appeared that there was divine power going with it. And that's what we need today. Because of the divine power and operation of the God, the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, thousands of souls were brought to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it wasn't Peter's words. It wasn't Peter's preaching that produced this effect. That was a necessary part of it. But that did not produce the effect. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Believer, that's what we need. That's what we need in our homes. The promise of the covenant blessings is unto us, and it's to our children, it's to those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And the Lord uses the means of grace. And as you present the means of grace to your little ones and to your family members and to those who are outside of Christ, we do it on this basis that God has promised to be faithful to His word. Train up a child in the way it shall go, and when it is old, it shall not depart from it. And therefore, fathers and mothers, present the gospel faithfully and plead for the power of the Holy Spirit to back the word home and to bring them to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is a faithful Savior? Ask and it shall be given thee. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Are you relying on the power of the Holy Spirit? We can do nothing. We can't create one anxious thought. And yet the Lord has told us and has taught us as His people. Preach Christ. Whether it be in the home, to the little ones that God has given, the heritage of the Lord. The Bible talks about arrows in the hand of a mighty man. And you think about the arrow. The arrow has to be fashioned, doesn't it? The arrow has to be pointed. It has to be fashioned. Has to be put in the bow, and it has to be aimed at the target and released. And that's, in that sense, spiritually speaking, we are to fashion our little ones. We are to shape them in the things of God by teaching them the gospel. We are to aim them at the mark, which is Christ. But you see the flight of the arrow. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to hit the mark. We can't do it. We can fashion them, we can preach, we can teach, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And God has promised this to His people. He's promised this to His people. You see, in Isaiah 55, in the verse 11, listen to these words. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I have sent it." As the people of God, we need the power of the Holy Spirit as we seek to spread the good news of the gospel in our homes, in our churches, throughout this land. And He has promised this to them that ask Him. He has promised the power of the Holy Spirit. But you see, what are we taught in Luke 11:13? Oil for light. The Holy Spirit for light. an illumination in the things of God. Well, here it is in Luke 11:13. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. Fathers, you know how to give good things unto your children. And how it delights your heart to do that. Now listen to what the verse goes on to say. How much more then shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now can you grasp that this morning? We can do nothing. But the promise of the covenant blessings is to us and it's to your children, to those that are far off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God has promised that. He has taught us to train them in the things of God, to preach the gospel, shall not return unto Him void. Now, here's the part. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I tell you, if we could really grasp the reality of this, we would see a work done in our families and in our churches. If men and women knew in this way the God of their salvation and their need of the Holy Spirit, even in salvation, we would see a work done in our day and in our generation. We need to cry today for His presence and for His power. We can do so much, you know, and we are. We're to be diligent in our work for the Lord and organizing this and that. But whenever we lose sight of the need of the Holy Spirit, well, might as well shut the doors. In Garva and in your home, cry for the Holy Spirit. Plead for the Holy Spirit to come. And He's promised He will come. And what is the promise? The Lord thy God in the midst of thee. And He comes by the power of the Holy Spirit into the midst. Like as in the day of Pentecost. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee, in the midst of the home. Oh, He is mighty and He will save. That's the promise. And you see, as the people of God in these days, we need to claim the promises of God. They're covenant promises. They are promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, for He has purchased them with His own blood. And therefore, plead them. Cry for them. And God is no man's debtor. He will reward. If you seek Him diligently, He will reward thee openly. His word teaches this. So, must move on for the sake of time. We have seen the necessity of the Holy Spirit in salvation. Want to consider, secondly, the necessity of the Holy Spirit in our sanctification. Well, we ask the question, and we use these big words. Often preachers use these big words, and some people can sit and scratch their head. Well, what does that mean? Well, what is sanctification? Simply, sanctification, or to sanctify, means to separate or to set apart for a holy use. That's simply what it means. To separate or to set apart for a holy use. Notice firstly with me sanctification's commencement, its commencement. The Lord Jesus Christ had a lot to say about sanctification in John chapter 17. In the verse 16, Jesus says concerning His people, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So in this sense, its commencement is when we are saved, and the Lord begins to sanctify His people. He begins to progress them in holiness, to lead them on with Himself, to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. You see, just as the Lord had redeemed and delivered His covenant people Israel from the bondage of Egypt and set them apart to serve and to worship Him, so also the Lord has redeemed and He has delivered us. He has saved us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and He has delivered us from the bondage of sin and the bondage of Satan. He has set His people apart from this world. The whole purpose is that they might live a holy life, and that they might serve and worship Him acceptably. And therefore, we are no longer of this world, spiritually speaking, as the Bible teaches here. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 expresses this, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. Note the connection there. Redemption and sanctification, there's a connection. First redeemed and then sanctified. So its commencement is whenever we're saved, the Lord begins to sanctify His people, them to lead them on, to set them apart more and more for His use and for His glory, even unto holiness. Notice with me how it continues then. How does sanctification continue in the life of one who is set apart for the glory of God in salvation? Well, in John 17, verses 14 and 15, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself goes on to say, I have given them thy word. And the Lord makes an emphasis here in our sanctification and in our continuance of it. I have given them thy word, The world hates them, because they are no longer of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Then he goes on to say in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. We're thinking here now about our progress as believers in the Christian life. We are thinking here about our progress in our walk with God, progress in overcoming sin daily, and progress in living for the glory of God. That's really what sanctification is. Progress in all of these areas of our life. This progress in sanctification, I want you to know this morning, is only possible by the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit. It's only possible by the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit. And the means that the Holy Spirit uses to guide, to direct us in our progress in holiness is the Word of God. Pages of truth, which God has revealed, which the Holy Spirit reveals to us and illuminates to us, oil for light. And the Holy Spirit illuminates the pages of truth where Christ is revealed to lead us on in holiness and to conform us more and more to His image. Notice with me how sanctification is communicated. The Holy Spirit illuminates our hearts and minds as He reveals the Word of God to us. In Psalm 119, verse 130, it says, it is the entrance of thy words that give light. It giveth understanding to the simple. This verse establishes that really for us that the basic method of how God sanctifies His people by illuminating and instructing them through His precious word. You see, when God's word enters and when it illuminates the heart of a person, a child of God who is saved by the power of the Holy Spirit, it gives to that individual light. And it gives to them understanding in the way wherein they should go. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. And the Holy Spirit takes the lamp and light of God's word and that path that we are to. This is the way, walk ye in it. The Holy Spirit, as we follow Him through the word, and as we have to really say here, as we seek to not grieve the Holy Spirit, because many believers today grieve the Holy Spirit in thought and word and in deed, and the Holy Spirit in this sense has to withdraw Himself, because where the believer should be grieved, the Holy Spirit is grieved and sorrows over that individual's sin, and where the child of God should be sorrowing over sin and confessing sin to Christ, the Holy Spirit has to be grieved, has to withdraw His blessing, and many today live in, as it were, defeated lives, not following the leading of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Maybe the book of God is closed in their home, and they're not growing in grace, progressing in holiness really the way they should. But the Holy Spirit, to the one who is seeking to go on with God and to grow in grace, it is through the Word that this is done, and He, through the revealed truth, illuminates the pages to the heart and to the mind and shows them the way wherein they should go. This is the way, walk ye in it. And simply day by day by day, as the Bible teaches, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and those steps being ordered of the Lord, we simply walk day by day with the Lord in His ways, and we seek to follow Him. And so, child of God, is this so in your life? Is this so in your life, even as an individual? Just as the oil burned and gave light to behold the wonders of the inner sanctuary, oil for light, so the Holy Spirit illuminates the pages of holy truth and enables God's people to understand and to apply its truths to their lives. And so God the Holy Spirit speaks to His people directly and authoritatively through the written word of God. And the great reformers, I love to read about the reformers. The reformers call this activity of God by which the truth of His word is brought upon the heart and upon the mind, the internal witness of the Holy Spirit, they called it. They stressed that this activity was the internal applying by the Holy Spirit of the external revelation of the Word of God. In other words, as we study the Bible, God the Holy Spirit, He speaks to us. And as we study, He transforms us by its great truths. Those great truths that we find there. You see, what takes place when the individual, the believer, is seeking to go on with God and to read God's word and to glean from it, there's a direct encounter. There's a direct encounter of the individual believer with God, the Holy Spirit. That's what takes place. And the Holy Spirit reveals the things of God, makes to us the Godhead known, and seeks to lead us on as we seek to walk with Him. And for this reason then, all believers are repeatedly encouraged to study. Study the Word of God. And that's God's Word to you today, believer. Maybe you wonder, well, why am I not progressing in my life? Why am I not gleaning from God's Word? Or why am I not growing in grace the way I should be? Well, do you study God's Word? Do you open the book of God every day? Psalm 119, verse 98 and 99 says, Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. How could the psalmist say that? Well, the psalmist could say that because he was a diligent reader of the Word of God. He was a studier of the book. And the Lord made him wiser than his enemies. He says, he goes on to say, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. This was the prayer also of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people in John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. The Lord desires his people to be students of the book. You know, some people today think, well, that's the job of the minister. Well, he can study throughout the week and bring a message. And so he should be. And should study the word diligently and bring a message for his people every Sabbath day. Of that there's no doubt. But you see, every individual member in the congregation or the Lord's should be students of the book. Diligent studiers of the word. You see, the Bible says, and we've prayed this already today, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits for him. Now, how can you be strong and do exploits for the Lord if you know nothing of the God of your salvation? Where's the God of your salvation revealed? In this book. And see, if you don't study the book, you'll never know who the God of your salvation is. Well, you may have enough to be saved. And your whole life be wood, hay and stubble. But the Lord wants his people to be students of the book. Our understanding of God's word, whenever we're saved, we have to say it's very limited, isn't it? It's very limited. It's very imperfect at the start. And it will be imperfect throughout all of our days. We'll never know everything. We'll never know everything. And thus, more and more illumination is needed to enable us to grow in grace from day to day. We don't want to... You remember the Apostle Paul. And he's talking to those people, and he has to say of them, oh, he lamented how they remained on the milk of the word, and they couldn't endure the meat. They were still babes in Christ. They hadn't learned to progress. They hadn't learned to grow and to move on. And I'm afraid today we have in many of our churches, we have many individuals who are on the milk of the word. And you see, the fault lies at their own door. Maybe sometimes it can be other things as well, but the fault really lies at their own door, because we have God's word in our own language. And I'm sure there's everyone here can read and can write. And these things are spirit discerned. Some people say, oh, well, I don't have a great understanding. I didn't do very well at school. It's not only do we being at school. These things are spiritually discerned. It's not about learning your algebra or any of them sort of things. It's getting alone with God and knowing the internal, as the Reformers talked about, knowing the internal witness of the Holy Spirit with your soul, and God's Spirit witnessing with your spirit. And that external revelation of His Word being implanted upon the heart and the mind by the Holy Spirit as you glean its pages. And the Holy Spirit alone can do this work. And believer, in your life, you need to plead and pray for this. Oh, lead me in the paths of righteousness for thine own name's sake. May that be your cry. Do you see the great necessity of the Holy Spirit in illuminating and revealing oil for light, even for your life as a believer, to lead you on? What are the results of sanctification then? We must move quickly on. What's the results of sanctification? Well, having been led to saving faith in Christ by the Holy Spirit, we are, by means of the Word of God, conformed more and more to the image of Christ. And that's the great purpose. You read Romans 8, that's the great purpose of our salvation. To be conformed more and more to the image of Christ. You know, you could stop and ask yourself the question there, is that taking place in your life? Are you becoming more Christ-like? You know, in a believer's life, there should be that progress in holiness. In Christ-likeness. You see, we think about the disciples there. We just think about this yesterday, just studying, just gleaning over this message for today. And whenever the Lord was with the disciples in Luke 24, verse 44, and he spake to his disciples, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you." And the disciples, they couldn't understand, you know. There's much that the disciples couldn't take in, even when the Lord was speaking to them. And yet we read in verse 45, the Lord goes on to say there, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." The very disciples, they needed their understanding to be open to understand the scriptures. And it's the same for us. As the disciples of Christ today, we need our understanding to be opened, to glean from the pages of truth, from the meat of God's word. And the apostle prayed for the Colossian church in Colossians 1:9. "We also do not cease to pray for you. You might be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spirit and understanding." You see, believer, the Bible is more. Oh, it's so much more than a body of revealed truths. It's more than a collection of books verbally inspired by God. The living God speaks through these pages. And therefore, the Bible, and I hope you take this home with you today, the Bible is not to be merely valued as a sacred object to be placed upon the shelf when you go in the house and left there to next Sabbath day. But it should be regarded as holy ground, where the believer's heart and where the believer's mind comes into vital contact with the living and the true God as the Holy Spirit speaks through its pages. And through the Holy Spirit applying the word, believers are thereby greatly strengthened. They're strengthened against the temptations and the corruptions of the flesh and of the world and of the old adversary, the devil. The word becomes a means of defense as being applied by the Holy Spirit. Finally, the crowning result of the word as a means of grace is that believers are built up in grace and knowledge and are established in holiness. They are sanctified through the truth, the word of God being that truth. And thus every step in the believer's experience is marked out distinctly under the operation of the Holy Spirit, working by and with the word of God in the believer's heart and mind. The witness of the Holy Spirit, this oil for light, is therefore essential. Essential for you to grow in grace, to progress in your sanctification and in your walk with God. Regular study of the Word of God will give you direction. It will give you understanding in the issues of life. To the true believer who is seeking to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You know, many, and I have this question asked to me by many of the young people in Ballymoney. I had to deal with this subject there in our youth fellowship as well. How do you discern the will of God? And there's so many people today running about, "Oh, how do I know the will of God in this or in that and this thing?" And they come to a big thing in their life and maybe they're leaving school or going to university. "Oh, son, oh, how do I know the will of God?" You see, it's so simple. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You see, our walk with God is a daily thing. It's not we come to a major milestone and all of a sudden, oh, we need to know the will of God. The daily steps of the man who's walking with God are ordered, and he simply walks with God from one thing to another. And maybe a problem arises and the Lord simply leads and guides. So many people today, and especially have this with young people, they come to a major area in their life, and because they haven't been walking with the Lord and gleaning from his word daily, it's a major crisis then in their life. Whenever the steps of the Lord's people are ordered daily by the lamp and light of God's word. Must move on quickly. There's more I could say there, but we must move on to our final point this morning. We'll try and be quick. In the third place, the necessity of the Holy Spirit in our service. The necessity of the Holy Spirit in our service for the Lord. The burning oil, the oil for light, enabled the priest to serve unhindered and in the correct manner inside the tabernacle. And that was essential. You think about the priest going into the tabernacle without the oil for light. And as he walks into the tabernacle, hitting into this and into that, and he cannot minister effectively. cannot do the work which he is called to do, even by the Lord. And so the oil for light was necessary, that he might serve acceptably, might serve unhindered, and in the correct manner inside the tabernacle. And one thing really that can often be overlooked as we consider the Holy Spirit giving illumination and understanding in the Scriptures is the purpose of it. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? We're thinking about our sanctification, our progress in holiness. That's one purpose of it. What's the purpose as we think about our service? What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit illuminating and revealing God's Word to us? Well, to hear some. It would seem that the whole purpose of illumination is to have an accurate and an academic understanding of God's Word. Now, there's absolutely no question that God does desire us to have, as His people, to have a doctrinal, an accurate understanding of what He has revealed in His Word. This is essential, yes. Words do have meaning, and therefore we must pay attention to the details revealed in God's precious Word. If, however, we stop there at simply just a doctrinal and an academic understanding of the Scriptures, be no good. You see, the fact why the Holy Spirit illuminates and reveals the Word of God is to point us to action. The illumination of the Holy Spirit always, always points the child of God to action. It's not just simply to have, well, this is what we believe. We know this, we know this, we know this, we know this, we know this. And we can dot every I and stroke every T. And that is very important. Don't get me wrong here this morning. That's very important. But you see, there must be action behind what we believe. Why does God the Holy Spirit help us understand His Word? Well, it's simply this. So that we are able to live its light in reality in our lives. So that we may serve unhindered and in a correct manner to the glory of God. That's why. Not only that we might progress in holiness, but that we might serve God unhindered and in an acceptable way. And that's why we need to know our doctrine. This is what God says. Now, here's where it's put into practice in my life. Not just enough to know it, must do it. And this is why the Lord says in James 1 verse 22, think about these words, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You see, He's given His word. He's saying here, be doers of the word. Doers of what I have revealed. I have revealed my truth. The doctrine of Scripture, all Scripture given by inspiration of God, is proper for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Scripture teaches that. And so the Lord's now saying to His people, well, as I lead you on myself, be doers of the word. It's not enough just to know it. It needs to be practiced in your life. And you see, that is in the home. That is in your workplace. That's in your church. That's wherever you might be throughout the week. Are you a doer of the word? And that brings us really back full circle. If we're ever going to teach our little ones in the home or those whom we work with, we need to be doers of the word. It needs to be seen in our lives. Not just by our mouths, but by our very lives. And such individuals are those who have been brought to an understanding of the Scriptures and to its truth. They are those who gladly receive it. And they are those who from a heart obey it. And they do it. We haven't really summed what I'm saying this morning about the Holy Spirit in our salvation, sanctification, and in our service. We haven't really summed up in Ephesians 2 verse 10. It really sums up what I'm saying this morning. And it says there in Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We have ownership here. We are His, bought with His precious blood. That's our salvation. We are His workmanship, for we're created in Christ Jesus. There's discipleship here, that we should walk in them. See, God has saved us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He sanctifies us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And He will enable us to serve Him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just quickly, if you were to turn to Psalm 119, we find there statements of personal action connected with illumination, which is wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit. I thought this was interesting just as I thought about this. We have statements of personal action connected with the eliminating work of the Holy Spirit. There's a connection here. We've been thinking about action in our lives, of being doers of the word. And in Psalm 119 and verse 27, now look what it says here. Here's the Lord's word. And the psalmist says here, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So he's praying here, Lord, make me to understand. Okay, that's, we need the Holy Spirit if we're ever going to understand. So he's saying, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, and here's the result. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. So, we have elimination connected with action. So he's asking for elimination, make me to understand. And what's the result? Well, whenever the Holy Spirit makes us to understand, he says, so shall I talk of all thy wondrous works. Then in verse 34, he goes on to say, here's his prayer, prayer for illumination. Give me understanding, verse 34. Give me understanding. What's the action? And I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. When we receive understanding and illumination, we're caused to be those who keep the law of God and to observe it with the whole heart. Then, verse 171, he says, my lips shall utter praise. Here's the praise of his heart. There's his action. Why? When thou hast taught me thy statutes. So he's able to witness, he's able to praise, and he's able to keep the law of God. And that's what's needed in the believer's life. To be godly, keep the law of God. To be effective, talk of all his wondrous works. Oh, and to serve him acceptably, to praise the Lord with a full heart. All by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1 verse 6 challenges us. Well, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. There it is. On the basis of that, you can examine yourself this morning. Well, if we say, well, many people today say, oh, I have fellowship with the Lord. I'm the Lord's. Well, if you say that you have fellowship with him and you still walk in darkness, you're lying. And if you do not the truth, you're lying. You see, we could paraphrase this verse by saying, if we say that we have been enlightened and we still walk in darkness, we lie about understanding and obeying God's word. You see, the reality is this. The Spirit of God who enlightens us to hear and to understand God's word will then take that knowledge and guide us in living it through sanctification, therefore enabling us to actively serve the Lord acceptably. Romans 8 verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I haven't time really to finish. Time's away long ago. I haven't time really to finish the message this morning. I'll just give you two quick points to think about yourself. You will notice that the lampstand was enabled by the supplied oil to serve as a light amid the darkness, and this should be with the child of God, as you're supplied by the power of the Holy Spirit. Should be a light among the darkness. That's what you should be. And notice also that the light which shone from the lampstand confronted the darkness around it. There was no mixing. So much mixing the day. And God's people in the world. When you think about 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 17. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Light and darkness do not mix. They cannot mix. And you see, where the light of the gospel shines, it will dispel the darkness. And if the Holy Spirit shines through your life, wherever you may be, in your home or in your workplace or in your church, there will be a dispelling of darkness by the power of the Holy Spirit. As he comes in salvation, enabling you to be sanctified and enabling you to serve him acceptably and with godly fear. And so I trust today that the Lord will bless his word. As we have thought about it here, the great necessity of the Holy Spirit, child of God, what a need we have. And yet, think about the one who can meet the need. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And there's been sending forth of the blessed Holy Spirit, power to save, power to sanctify, power to serve. Can we not plead for this? These are covenant blessings, covenant promises. Are you going to claim them in your life? Oh, if we had this in our prayer meetings, pleading for the power of the Holy Spirit to come in these senses, we'll see a work done. No doubt about it. But you see, so often in the church, even the child of God's life, there's a relying upon the arm of the flesh. You need to get away from that. You need to be diligent and organized and doing all these things, yes, but the greatest need is for the Spirit of God to come. Think there about Song of Solomon. I was just reading this last night. And there, in that song it says, come north wind, come south wind, and blow upon this garden that the fragrance may flow. You think about that in your own life. Oh, come north wind, south wind. Picture of the Holy Spirit again. Blow upon this garden. Maybe it's been a long time since the fragrance of Christ has emanated from your life. Maybe it has been. Maybe it's a while. Even in our churches, we have to say, since we've known the power of the Holy Spirit in such a way that our forefathers knew. But it's getting back to these essential truths. And I trust today that the Holy Spirit will, in our own hearts and minds, help us to grasp and to grab the reality of this. I'm sorry for going on so long this morning, but I feel it's essential. Essential what we've had to say. Lord, I had another message, actually another couple of messages upon my heart and mind for today, but just a couple of days ago the Lord gave me this message, imprinted upon my heart and mind. So I trust the Lord will bless us and lead us on with Himself.